This is The Rundown from WUFT News, exploring our community from top to bottom. I'm Kristen Shermont-Spina. Coming up on the show, in the heart of horse country, one rising rodeo star shows us what it means to fall down and get back up. But first, in the city of Alachua, applause rang out on Tuesday night as a city board denied a controversial permit. It would have allowed for two stormwater basins near Mill Creek Sink as part of a larger group of so-called Terra developments. WUFT environmental reporter Rose Schnabel was at the meeting, and I spoke to her about it earlier, about what went down and how we got here. So before we get into the vote from this week, can you give me a brief overview of the Terra development proposal? What exactly were they proposing, and how did we get here?
First, to orient you about where we are, I'm talking about an area, grassy, sloping property at the intersection of I-75 and US 441. So there's a Sonny's Barbecue back there, and there's a famous sinkhole. It was in Wes Skiles' Water's Journey. And that's actually why these proposals are controversial. So the developer, Syed Mukhtara, wants to build houses and commercial properties, about 500 of them, in a five-part project, some of which is already under construction. It's controversial because of its location next to that sinkhole, and cave divers are worried that the water contamination from any potential runoff or sinkholes could travel downstream to Hornsby Springs. It can get there within 12 days, so anything that goes in there could come out in drinking water. This permit is about a teeny tiny part of that project. It's two dry stormwater basins next to the highway. But plans for other parts of the development really rely on those two pieces. So I've been thinking of it kind of like a Jenga tower. And so this was one of the bottom key pieces that's now been pulled by this vote. And residents are waiting to see if it'll topple or if the developer will find a fix.
So you were actually at the meeting where the board denied this permit application, and you recorded some sound of the moment the vote was taken. Let's take a quick listen to that.
Having found none, we will put it to the vote. Ms. Highlander.
Aye.
Ms. Judd.
Aye.
Mr. Minadier.
Aye.
And the chair votes aye.
So walk me through what it was like in that room before and after this vote took place.
It was intense. Before the meeting, there were 264 written public comments. And then during the meeting, there were more than 50 speakers who came up and voiced their opinion. Nobody spoke in favor of the project, and everybody raised concerns against it, primarily, again, based on water quality. Some people cried. Some people laughed. It was very emotional, and it was nearly 12 hours of discussion split between 2 days. Planners, hydrologists, geologists, every IST testified about the project, either in favor or against it. And Vinette Gadelia, the applicant's attorney, was making the case that the applicant had already studied this ground. They had done soil borings and didn't find anything of concern, and that's why they felt it was ready to move forward. But the city of Alachua contracted a hydrogeologist, Mike Alfieri, who disagreed with that and said that after reviewing the applicant's materials, he thought they needed more studies before moving forward. The applicant agreed to do more studies, but said they would do it after they got approval. And the board didn't buy it, especially board member Danielle Judd, who said that she was extremely dissatisfied with the process and called it disingenuous. And then as far as after, well, after cheering, everyone left because it was 11:30 at night.
So the permit was denied. What exactly does that mean in the context of this larger development project and what happens next?
It's a great question. So again, this permit was very, very limited in scope, and that was a point that the developer was trying to make throughout the night. It wasn't even permission to build anything. It was permission to include something in a design. So its impacts of being denied are not totally clear. Any party could appeal the board's decision, and then it would go before the city commission for another vote. But a bunch of the other parts of the projects are already under consideration by the city commission and by planning staff. So whether or not those can move forward is yet to be seen.
That was WUFT environmental reporter Rose Schnabel talking about the denial of a controversial development permit in the city of Alachua. If you're just joining us, this is The Rundown from WUFT News, exploring our community from top to bottom. I'm Kristen Shermont-Spina. Florida has a lot of stories to tell. Do you know your community's history? It's time for a trivia question. Florida has three famous Marjories. Which one lived in Cross Creek and is known for her novel, The Yearling? Is it A, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, B, Marjorie Kinnon Rawlings, or C, Marjorie Harris Carr? Do you think you know? Well, stay tuned to the end of the show for the answer. North Central Florida is home to horse country, so it's no surprise that the rodeo is a big deal. WUFT reporter Juan Carlos Chowie took a trip down to Inglis, Florida, where he met one rising rodeo star whose backstory sets him apart from the rest.
Sitting at home, 15-year-old Trenton Coffmel is tired of his homework.
What?
He's not very good at chemistry, but when he closes his laptop...
You ready?
Yes, sir.
He steps into his other classroom, where he does know the answer to most questions. The rodeo.
Good job, boys.
Good job.
In the arena, lessons aren't complete without dust, leather, a bit of patience.
What'd you miss that for?
And some humor from Trenton's father, James Coffmel. Don't worry, he's only joking. It's a lifestyle Trenton says you have to want.
You just gotta love it. I got put on a horse one day and I got a rope put in my hands and I've been roping ever since then.
Instead of struggling with chemical formulas in the classroom, the only thing he worries about out here is stepping in horse poop.
It's not as bad as dog poop. Doesn't stick and doesn't smell as bad.
But it comes with the territory. All part of the wildlife of a rising rodeo star in the ring and at home.
Trenton's the last of eight. You know, he's number eight. We had a full house. It's just like being at the bottom of a hill. Everything rolls downhill. So he caught all the crap from all of his siblings.
All the teasing and hand-me-downs were just part of growing up. And as tough as his brothers and sisters made life, it was nothing compared to the blow Trenton took at just 5 years old.
He went running in the barn the day after Thanksgiving, ran in behind my daughter's show horse, and he got kicked.
His parents were horrified. Here's his mom, Candy Coffmel.
So I was, like, in a panic. When my daughter called me, she said, Mom, Trenton got kicked in the heart. Like, she thought he was going to die.
Airlifted to Tampa General Hospital, time stopped.
Felt like forever. I couldn't get up. I couldn't really walk around or anything.
He waited all alone.
I was crying for my parents. I just wished I had somebody there that I knew.
A lacerated spleen and bruised liver. No one thought he'd go near a horse again until one day he made peace.
Oh, I hate that horse.
Okay, maybe not with that horse, but it was only a matter of time before Trenton, having been raised around horses, decided he was going to saddle up.
I'd say they're a little bit more than friends. They're like best friends. I love them.
He grooms and washes his horse, Joe, after every practice.
Honestly, I treat them better than I treat myself.
And with that special bond, they've been roping together for the past 3 years, showing the kind of progress his trainer, Dakota Shipp, says takes a decade.
He's moving rapidly up the ladder of, you know, ranks in team roping.
But you won't get far without a partner.
He's all right. He's okay to be around. Not too bad.
That's Hayden Skipper. He's also joking. The two have competed alongside each other for a year and a half.
So I feel like we got a good shot of winning first, winning the saddle.
They're ranked second in Florida for their age group, and this day's competition is a big moment for them.
A lot of pressure going into it. You're thinking, you know what you need to do. All you got to do is just go ahead and do it.
Every second matters in each run. And every run is proof Trenton is right where he belongs.
The dream is to move to Texas and go compete in pro rodeo. You want to rope against the best to be the best.
Now, pouring cow feed into the trough, the kid who almost didn't make it became a rising cowboy who can't be stopped. In Inglis, Juan Carlos Chowie, WUFT News.
And this is the rundown from WUFT News. I'm Kristen Shermont-Spina. Still to come, we'll hear another segment of our ongoing series, Uncelebrated, people who fly under the radar yet help the world turn. That's after a short break.
Support from Sweetwater Branch and the boutique property in the Vent Venue in historic Gainesville. Sweetwater offers a secluded getaway for business and personal travel. Catering on or off-site also available. Located minutes from the UF campus. More at SweetwaterN.com.
On the next Florida Roundup, immigration and Florida. It's been 1 year since Donald Trump was sworn back into office and began his immigration enforcement policy. Thousands have been detained here in the Sunshine State. The state has opened two detention centers, and hundreds of thousands of Floridians have lost immigration protections. So what do you make of how immigration enforcement has been carried out here in Florida? How has your neighborhood, community, school, or business been affected? Email us, radio@thefloridaroundup.org. I'm Tom Hudson. Then join us Friday, noon until 1 on WUFT.
This week on Science Friday, deepfakes. How do they work and what comes next? Plus, the toxic aftermath of the Los Angeles fires 1 year later. That's on Science Friday from WNYC Studios.
Fridays at 2 on WUFT.
It wasn't all that long ago that the vast bulk of news out of Tallahassee came during the yearly lawmaking session. But as the state has grown in population and national importance, that certainly isn't true anymore, which is why you'll hear a summary of the top stories from Tallahassee every week on Capitol Report.
Friday evening at 6:30 on WUFT 89.1, 90.1.
To the Rundown. I'm Kristen Shermont-Spina. It's time again for our series we're calling Uncelebrated, people who fly under the radar yet help the world turn. Today, WUFT's Sophia Dinka introduces us to a large animal veterinarian named Dr. Joe Guevara. He's been running his vet service out of his pickup truck since 2015. On this particular day, he was checking cattle for pregnancy with the help of a group of cowboys at a High Springs ranch.
Pregnant. So next cow coming into the chute now. We're seeing if she's pregnant. I'm rectally palpating her. And she is pregnant. 6 months along. And black coffee keeps me going. I was probably about fourth or fifth grade when I got my first animals personally, that I had to raise and care for itself, and then it grew from there. We care for thousands of cattle and hundreds of families that do this, and at any given moment they could call and need our help with an emergency. So it's hard to say that there's ever an end of the day, because I am always attached to my phone. I will apologize to anybody on the radio because I just dropped this microphone in a pile of manure.
They told me you were going to do that.
Lynn, that was between you and me, buddy. Probably my biggest influence in my journey would be my mother. Ultimately, I was raised in an agricultural family. My parents managed a dairy farm in South America and Venezuela. And then when we moved to the States, my mother became an agriculture teacher at a high school. My twin boys really like to go to the farm with me when they can. They're not quite old enough yet that I trust that they can be safe in the cow pen with a lot of emergencies that I take care of. But I have brought my kids with me on a dystocia is when an animal is having trouble giving birth. And what's handy about kids is they got small hands. Sorry, that may be too much information. The one thing I would like people to know is I am a person, and I bring a lot of my work home with me. And not being able to save that animal, or not being able to find out the reason why these animals are sick, and not being able to accomplish that task that I set in to do for an individual and a farm, that piles up sometimes, and you do bring that home with you. My wife and I have been together since 2005. We started dating in high school and got married in college. But she really is my best friend, and I can talk to her about anything. So on those hard days, she really is my rock that I talk to. This cow is exceptionally fat.
Pregnant.
That was Dr. Joe Guevara, a large animal veterinarian checking on cattle in High Springs. His story is part of our series called Uncelebrated, People Who Fly Under the Radar Yet Help Our World Turn. This story was produced by WUFT's Sophia Dinka. To hear more stories from this series, visit us online at WUFT.org/uncelebrated. If you're just joining us, this is The Rundown from WUFT News. I'm Kristen Shermont-Spina. As a reminder, our trivia question this week, Florida has three famous Marjories. Which one lived in Cross Creek and is known for her novel, The Yearling? Is it A, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, B, Marjorie Kinnan Rawlings, or C, Marjorie Harris Carr? The answer's coming up at the end of the show. We'll be back after a quick break. Stay with us.
When you're walking for years on end in places people aren't usually on foot, the police take notice. This world explorer tells us he's been stopped by authorities 120 times.
Yeah, I mean, I can laugh at it now, but it was actually very stressful.
That plus the day's top global news next time on The World.
Monday through Thursday at 3 on WUFT 89.1, 90.1.
When the Trump administration slashed funding for foreign aid last year, a critical vaccine trial for HIV came to a halt in African countries ravaged by AIDS.
In many ways, we've kind of had our legs cut off even as we're beginning to run the sprint.
But researchers did not give up on this project of promise. A look at South Africa's effort to develop an AIDS vaccine on All Things Considered from NPR News. Weekday afternoons at 4 on WUFT.
Big tech companies spent around $400 billion building data centers last year, in large part with borrowed money.
The question is, will they be able to honor those debts, or will they default on them?
And are they too big to fail? I'm Kai Rizdahl. Too Big to Fail is back, baby. That's next time on Marketplace. This evening at 6 on WUFT 89.1, 90.1.
Welcome back to The Rundown. I'm Kristen Shermont-Spina. UF's early enrollment admissions decision is set to come out tomorrow. High school students have studied hard to earn their spot at the state's flagship university. Current UF students are also studying hard as the spring semester kicks into full gear. To find out how students keep their focus and study in a world full of distractions, we asked WUFT's Mei Hu to head out across the UF campus and ask the question, what are some of your best study tips?
I'm Alexis Graves. The snowballing method is a really good tip. You just kind of have to start from the beginning and repetition over and over and over. Spaced repetition, snowballing, just starting with one thing, moving on to the next, active recall, what you just did right before. That's like my holy grail of studying.
My name is Steve Kern. A routine, a pattern, a time dedicated to doing study. I found that I got my best work done when I had defined spaces and defined times. And that seemed to help rather than trying to sprinkle it in randomly.
My name is Hayden Dalbianca. I think something that I do a lot of is do as many practice exams as possible. I really enjoy classes that give you a lot of practice exams because I feel like those are the most helpful in trying to get you adjusted to what the real exam could be like.
My name is Gina Marie Russo. I think finding the right environment to do your studying in, whatever works for you. Like, I like being out kind of in an area that feels more comfortable, some people in the library, but that's the best one for me. I really like finding like a quiet like park or being in the plaza. Like, this is a really nice spot. Like, being in the library, it's like really too closed for me. Or like a, maybe more like a public library or something that's a little bit more like spacious for me.
From the snowballing method to keeping a steady routine, students from the University of Florida have found creative ways to make studying work for them. This story was produced by WUFT's Mei Hu. for thousands of years, humans looked up at the night sky and wondered, what's up there? To try to answer that question, we're back with another part of our occasional series called Constellation Conversation. Today we hear from Rana Ezzedine, an assistant professor in the astronomy department at the University of Florida.
I study stars, particularly in the context of the Milky Way galaxy, to try to understand how our home galaxy was formed, how it evolved throughout time, and why does it look the way it does today. We are in winter now, and January and February in the northern night sky is full of really exciting things. A couple of days ago, there was a very strong, severe solar storm where a geomagnetic solar flare took place. And because of this, we can see what is called the aurora borealis, the beautiful colors that we see in the night sky. Now, unfortunately, we can't really see this all the way down to Florida, but if anybody's traveling a little bit north, even to the northern states, all the way down to Iowa, and you look at the night sky, you'll be able to see some of these colors, and they are so beautiful and so unique. Unfortunately, this is going to start to become weaker and weaker in the next couple of days, unless there's another solar flare that happens, and that's not unusual. So normally, there could be a couple of solar flares that take place in the consecutive weeks. So if that's the case, then it could brighten up again. In terms of planets, we can clearly see Jupiter. It's going to be one of the brightest in the night sky. It's going to be visible most of the night. We're even going to be able to see its moons. Some other cool stars that you can see in the night sky, and it's going to be one of the brightest stars, is the star Rigel. It is found in the Orion Nebula. So this is the beautiful Orion Hunter constellation. Rigel is actually the bottom left foot of the Hunter. And a fun fact, Rigel is the Arabic word for foot. That's how actually the name came out. That's how I know it, because I'm from Lebanon, so I speak Arabic. Now, Rigel is a really cool star. It's actually a blue supergiant. It's a very, very advanced star that is probably evolved all the way, and it's close to dying. Now, why is that exciting? Even though dying itself is not a cool event, this star, if it dies, it will explode in a supernova, and it'll be so bright that we can actually see it as bright as the moon in the night sky. So we're all really crossing our fingers for Rigel, for this to happen during our lifetimes. I study the oldest stars in our Milky Way galaxy. These stars are very unique because they were formed only a couple of million years after the Big Bang. We can use them as fossils, just like we use old objects here on Earth to study old civilizations. Old stars can also be used as fossils, and that's how we use them. And the field of work that I do is called galactic archaeology. Some of the really interesting things that we found in our research is that stars have a lot of gold and uranium in them. And these two elements are so famous and infamous here on Earth, but their origin is still debated. And so in my research, with me and my students, we were able to find how those elements were formed, particularly during very, very strong explosions of old stars called neutron stars. They collide together and they form a lot of those what we call heavy elements, which makes up all of the really rare Earth materials that we find here on Earth, like gold, silver, uranium, etc. It is such a niche field that even though we've been studying it for thousands of years, and by that I'm referencing, you know, a long time ago, even before BC, when people were used the stars to navigate their ways, to use constellations to make stories, we still don't know so much about our universe, and we are always prone to discover new things.
Rana Ezzedine is an assistant professor in the astronomy department at the University of Florida. The Rundown is a production of WUFT News out of the University of Florida College of Journalism and Communications. Special thanks to the Dean of the College, Hub Brown, and Interim Newsroom Director, Ethan Majok. Our trivia question this week was, Florida has three famous Marjories. Which one lived in Cross Creek and is known for her novel, The Yearling? The answer? B. Marjorie Kinnon Rawlings. That's it for the rundown. I'm Kristen Shermont-Spina.